185 days ago, the Vancouver Canucks opened the 2014-15 season with a 4-2 win over the Calgary Flames. Now, they're set to battle those same dirty, rotten, stinking cow suckers from Calgary in the first round of the playoffs. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Steve Ewan from your Vancouver province. You're lucky because you're listening to Pucked in the Head.
Is some raunchy harmonica there, Russell?
The old honer.
What, who is that fine purveyor of blues music?
That is my friend and yours, Mr. Harp Dog Brown.
Harp Dog Brown. What an awesome name. If you know what, if you're going to
Charlie's uncle, I believe.
If you're going to choose a name for yourself, it should be Harp Dog.
What about Dog Harp?
Now, I was talking to a friend about this the other day.
About Harp Dog?
Well, that we were talking about the fact that, and it actually originated in a Facebook post, but some nouns, compound nouns, you can reverse or invert the two parts, and they essentially have the same meaning, right?
Can you give me an example?
Well, like shotgun and gunshot. They have related meanings.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things you should just never invert. Many of them are things that we cannot say on this particular recording because it is slated to be broadcast. The podcast can include it. In fact, I will say one of them right now, and we'll cut it out. So for all of you radio listeners out there, you can go to puckedinthehead.com.
Perhaps this might be actually a good opportunity for us to explain the format of this show.
Sure.
For those of you listening on Civil Radio 101.7 FM.
Or on their related website.
Correct. Yes.
Which would be?
Civil.ca.
There we go. CIVL.ca. We're there every second Wednesday.
Correct.
From 7 to 8 p.m.
Correct.
Pucked in the Head is now actually broadcast out into the ether.
Yes. So most unfortunate for humanity is that we now have the opportunity to reach more ears, whether or not they want to or not, if they happen to be tuned to 101.7 FM.
If their car radio is broken and only gets 101.7 FM, and they happen to be in the Fraser Valley region of the Lower Mainland,
they're stuck with us.
They
and they're driving.
And they
presumably they're driving between, or maybe they're just sitting in their car.
And they're unable to exit their vehicle or turn the vehicle off.
Or just the radio off.
Then they are hearing the dulcet tones of Russell Arbuthnot and Jace Carillo as Pucked in the Head.
So just
for radio listeners,
to explain, yeah. So essentially what we do is we record our podcasts weekly is the hope. And those podcasts are typically anywhere between 15 to perhaps 30-ish minutes, give or take. And essentially what we do then is compound two of those podcasts to form one single episode of the radio show that you hear biweekly.
As you could hear from Russell's recent statement, we are able to take about 5 seconds of information and stretch it out to 30 or 45 seconds. So that's good because we do very little research. We wanted to keep the entire feel of the original podcast very much intact. So research is frowned upon, frankly. So there were some things that if you invert the two words, they're rather unpleasant. The example that our my good friend and one of our listeners, Kennedy Goodkey, who has also been an occasional...
Key good?
Sure. I keyed that car good, baby. He has been an occasional contributor to Pucked in the Head. But he gave the example of cream cheese.
I don't see why this can't be broadcast on.
Well, that's the one of the ones that can be broadcast. Okay. Right. The CRTC can take this up with whomever they want. But I'll now say one, and you can decide whether or not you want to put it on
sure,
the radio.
Yeah, put it on my shoulders, Jason.
It will be included in the podcast. But you, if you hear a beeping sound soon, it's because it was inappropriate to broadcast dickhead on college radio or shithead on the community radio station.
Well, yeah, those aren't going to make it on.
And frankly, head shit is not pleasant.
No, probably head dick, depending upon the situation, is not pleasant.
There you go. Or very pleasant.
What about head cheese?
Cheese head?
Yeah, you can do that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, are you going to remember to bleep those out later, by the way?
We'll find out.
Listen, tune in. So we're actually here to talk about the Canucks and Flames, or the Flames and Canucks, as the case may be.
As the case may be. I believe those are interchangeable.
Canucks will have home ice advantage. Who picked that at the beginning of the season?
Very few.
Tell
I
me
would
that.
Imagine. John Tortorella, I think, was the man leading the charge.
Yeah, because he believed in this team.
He really did. Yeah. And the Sedins.
I would like to. I'm going to shame you now.
Sure.
I warned you I was going to shame you. I'm going to shame you right now. Russell, how many goals did you think that Radim Verbata would have this year?
I didn't specify.
I know. I'm
but
asking.
But I did.
Did you think he was going to be a big coyote shaped bust?
No. The discussion we had was you thought he would. You were quite positive he would reach the 30 goal mark. I wasn't so sure.
There's a big check mark beside that.
The conversation, I believe he was sitting at 24 at the time with whatever, 12 games left. And I didn't think he would necessarily. I'll go with it.
What about at the beginning of the season? What was your thought when the Canucks first signed Radim Verbata? Honestly,
30 probably. Yeah, probably not. I would have thought he was a 20 goal scorer for sure. 30 would have been up until whenever it happened, I still wouldn't have necessarily believed it.
Did you think he was going to be in the running for team MVP?
No. Especially just from his seasons in Phoenix have been very up and down. And I know that because I historically have him in my pool at some point because he goes on a hot streak and I pick him up. And then inevitably within a few weeks, he's sort of not doing much again. So, but he was probably the Canucks' most consistent player throughout the season, brought offense to each line that he played on because he was obviously with the Sedins for a time and then went down to the second line to help get Bonino out of a slump. And he's certainly been their MVP without question.
Well, and definitely he's led the charge offensively for sure. Absolutely. Although it is surprising considering the fact that so many people, even after this season, are still down on the Sedins because they have plummeted from their heady 100 point years to where they are now. Daniel's in the top 10 in scoring in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the league, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, scoring across the league has gone down exponentially this year.
Although, you know, I've watched a bunch of games this year from around the league, not just Canucks games. It's been entertaining hockey almost every time I've turned on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you look across the Western Conference, every single matchup for the playoffs is dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every team has a decent chance at advancing for the first round and further.
We were talking about this before we started recording. Any one of the eight teams in the West could come out of the West. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't go, oh my God, look, the
Winnipeg
Jets have come out of the West. Like, they've got some dangerous pieces, and they've gone on some serious hot streaks.
Yep. Well, yeah. We'll leave that for the next segment, but you want to talk about a hot streak? Look at the Senators.
Well,
congratulations, New York Rangers, on winning the President's Trophy. Now you get a team that went 22-3-3 over the last quarter of their season.
These guys, I know I've said this several times. We're here to talk Canucks and Flames, but the Ottawa Senators have, since February 10th, they've won 23 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number of wins the Buffalo Sabres have for the whole season.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's
just outrageous.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised to see if the Senators play the way they have played, they're doing the same things that the Los Angeles Kings did when they won their first cup.
Yeah.
They basically played lights out from Christmas and didn't stop when the playoffs came.
Yeah.
They just kept rolling.
Yeah.
I could see the Sens doing that the way they're playing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hammond keeps it up too, right?
And Mark Stone, as a rookie, has 26 goals.
Scored again today.
Had played the way he's played the last couple of months, if he'd played that way the whole year, nobody would touch him for the Norris voting. But he's only put in half a season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two teams that have played fairly consistently all year that we didn't expect, Vancouver and Calgary.
Oh, right.
That's what we're supposed to talk about, right? Do you think that the Canucks go in as solid favorites, or is this a pick 'em?
I would give the Canucks the edge, but not by much. Certainly would not be surprised to see it go seven, as historically these two teams tend to do. Do you think there's anything to that whole Canucks and Flames go seven games in the first round and end up in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, that's the thing, is the times they have been in the first round,
every 10 years,
roughly, the winner has gone on to the Stanley Cup Final. Do I think that's going to happen this time? No. I don't think either of these two teams have what it takes to go the distance. Will I be surprised if they do? Only moderately.
I would be surprised.
I would. You know what? I wouldn't. I look at the other teams. Even St. Louis is near the top, possibly the top team in the West. The Canucks have owned them this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, too, is it kind of depends how the chips fall for the rest of that first round. I mean, depending on what the matchups end up being, you're right. Any team could beat any other team in a seven-game series, rather.
Yeah. I mean, I look at Anaheim is a solid team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a good team on paper. But they've had periods where they just don't look interested.
Mm-hmm.
And they let in soft goals.
Goaltending is
suspect.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Winnipeg and Calgary as well. These are two good, hardworking, entertaining teams. But are they even built for the playoffs? I don't know, man.
It's hard to say. Well, and I mean, the loss of Giordano at some point has to come back and hurt that team.
Well, people have been saying that since he got hurt.
I know.
And it hasn't.
It hasn't really. Well, imagine, I mean, think about where they would be had he been playing, right? They could very well be up on top of the Canucks at this point.
I mean, the fact is, you look at their 60-minute play, they're actually fairly even. The Canucks scored 2.84 goals per game this year. That's eighth in the league. The Flames were seventh with 2.89. Very close goal production for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Goals against, also similar. The Canucks were 18th, 2.65 goals against per game, which is not great. But the Flames weren't world beaters in that either. They were 15th. Very close, 2.6 goals against per game. So just as a 60-minute team, they're actually very close to each other.
Right.
Depending on how Miller comes back from his injury, maybe the Canucks goaltending is going to be suspect as well. I love what Eddie Lack did in the last quarter of the season. I still don't think he's the guy.
You don't think he's going to start?
If I'm the GM and I'm paying Ryan Miller to be $6 million to be here, he's my number one guy. My coach last year made the mistake of playing the other guy.
What happened to him again?
Something with being traded to Florida and then getting fired. I don't know. It was some colossal cluster.
Wasn't there a dust-up with the Flames as well?
And there was also a dust-up between
Bob
Hartley
and John
Tortorella.
I believe he's still on the payroll.
John Tortorella. Well,
bring Tortorella back for a second round.
You know what I would rather see? I would rather see Tortorella between the pipes.
Why?
Just because it would be fun to see him get hit by a few pucks, that's all.
I suppose, pucked in the head.
But here's where the difference lies between the Canucks and the Flames. And here's why the Canucks are favored, in my opinion. Penalties. The Canucks, in both penalty killing and power play, are statistically way ahead of the Flames. Now, of course, this means the Flames are better 5-on-5 than the Canucks are. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you get into a playoff situation.
Yeah. Special
very
teams
young team. Special teams are very important. Now, I know we relied on them too heavily in 2011.
How do you mean relied on them too heavily?
The Canucks, the 2011 team was by far the best special teams team in the league. And they.
But where it fell apart was the fact that special teams were non-existent in the finals.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not, that's through no fault of the Canuck.
But this is what I'm saying. If the referees put the whistles in their pockets, then the Canucks having an edge in the power play doesn't have a meaning.
Meaningless,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's assuming the referees put their whistles away. Because three games running, the Calgary Flames did not get called for any penalties.
Which is unheard of.
Three games in a row. And this is not a skilled passing team. Mm-hmm. This is a team that bumps, that grinds, that hits, that holds on to guys, that uses any method necessary to slow the other team down. And they didn't get called for a single minor penalty
mm-hmm.
in three consecutive games down the stretch when they're playing their most desperate hockey. That's weird.
It's a bit odd for sure.
It's certainly bizarre. Now, I didn't watch those games, so I can't really comment on the validity of this, but it's certainly an interesting conspiracy.
You'd be hard-pressed to watch any given NHL hockey game and not be able to point out a single penalty.
But even, for example, in today's game between Ottawa and the Flyers, there were egregious penalties that were
not called.
But it was both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a case where Calgary got a couple of power plays in each game, did not get called once.
Yeah. They didn't have to play shorthanded.
There's no way they did not commit a single foul once in three hockey games.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is going to win this series, Canucks or Flames?
I'm going to say the Vancouver Canucks in six.
I have the same prediction, and that's why at the beginning of the show, I talked about the Canucks winning 4-2 back in October. Because I think they're going to do the same thing in the series.
They're going to win the series 4-2.
They're going to win the series 4-2.
Well, that wraps it all up.
I think that Eddie Lack is probably going to be the guy. He's just played too well down the stretch, and Ryan Miller's knee is still a question mark. You have to go with the guy that has got you here, but he's going to be on a very short leash.
I think it depends what he actually does, right, in the playoffs. Depends how games 1 and 2 go.
Exactly.
If they end up winning game one, he's got a longer leash.
I don't think so. Because you're looking at a series that could potentially go long. The sooner you get the team down, the better.
Really, where is Ryan Miller at this point in his recovery, too? I mean, is he 100%? We don't know.
It's a really, really tough call. From a coach's perspective, I think you put in the guy that gives you the best chance to win. With Tortorella, he made the wrong choice. I think Roberto Luongo every night gives you a better chance to win. But in this case, Ryan Miller, still in recovery. Usually it takes a week to get your form back once you start playing again. Well, they don't have a week to play around with.
Yeah. He's got one game.
He's got one game, and that's not enough. Here's what I want. I am going to challenge right now, if we can find any Calgary bloggers or podcasters or radio shows out there, if the Canucks win, we want you to eat tofu for a month. No Alberta beef for 1 month. I want you to eat tofu for a full month.
What, like just tofu?
All tofu.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, between meal snacks, just tofu all the time.
That's not... Okay.
That probably is not very healthy. I don't recommend you follow my advice on that. Please don't eat only tofu all day, every day. This would be a very bad idea. So we both got Calgary out of the playoffs in six games, but good on them for getting there, because there's not a single person outside the Calgary hockey team themselves
that believed.
There was not a single hockey person.
Well, for both of these teams.
Who,
like,
thought that they would make
who
the playoffs.
Think, how can you, you know, rebuild in such a short amount of time, whether it's a rebuild or Vancouver likes to call it a retool, but one season later, they're there. Same with Calgary. I mean, basically, they were prepping themselves for a long drought and didn't happen. Within a couple seasons, they're there and they're challenging and they're, like you said, I mean, you're confident in them. You could certainly see them moving on.
definitely. I would not be surprised.
They're not just window dressing.
I would not be surprised to see the series go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
There. I mean, obviously, I live in Vancouver. I'm a homer, but this is one case where, okay, I think the Canucks have the edge in this series, but would not be surprised or even upset if the Flames went on and took
it. You would be upset.
I cry a lot in the off season. I'll admit it. It's true. We are going to now take you back to the strains of Mr. Harp Dog Brown and the track, which is called No Money in the Till.
Overdone that credit, got no money in the till.